Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the book, as we know it, has taken some pretty big steps forward with the invention of reading devices like the Kindle or the iPad, though some people consider them steps backwards. Now that we are no longer confined to Gutenberg's printed page, however, the digital era is providing all sorts of opportunities to reimagine the traditional novel or textbook. So what can the book aspire to be, and how can a book's design change the process of authors and publishers? Duane Bray, a partner at the design and innovation consulting firm IDEO, and Robert Lenny, an interaction designer also with IDEO, have done some of that reimagining work, and their new project looks at the future of the book. They've made a video of new designs for the book in the digital age, and it's posted on our website right now. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to check out that video about new designs for the book. Duane, Robert, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you've broken your design concepts down to three different tracks. Nelson, Copeland, and Alice. Wonderful of you to name them. So what is Nelson? What type of books? What is Nelson, and what types of books would it be good for?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can talk a little bit about that. So Nelson is one of the concepts featured in the video, and Nelson is very much about getting readers a well-informed and a well-rounded point of view about the topic they have at hand. So it actually, beyond just a normal reading experience, it has a number of contextual layers which allows you to get information about what you're reading. So that's, for example, that's a layer you can bring up that allows you to check the facts in the book. And the community can actually contribute and point out certain flaws in the sources or maybe update it with new sources. It also allows you to see if the book is, let's say, 10 years old, it can allow you to get a new perspective on the topic you have at hand. So it actually connects you to the latest news and information about that topic.
You use Al Gore's book, An Inconvenient Truth, as an example in the video. Is that an example of Nelson?
It is. I mean, the notion there is that what's exciting is that any book can be connected to many sources of information. So just knowing, for example, what books referenced An Inconvenient Truth that came after it, as well as the references contained within the book itself, it puts the book in a broader context.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Let's go on to Copeland, which as a design scheme sort of sounds like what the algorithms of Amazon.com or Netflix already does, something like that?
Mm. Well, Copeland is actually, it's a device or a concept that allows a community, in this case we took a business community, to be able to see what their colleagues are reading and discover new books depending on, find new books through their colleagues. They can also suggest books to very easy to their colleagues. It's very much more about individuals than it is about algorithms in that way.
Netflix meets LinkedIn.
Yeah, you can describe it like that.
Yeah, in a way, the shared context. I mean, we did some work this summer with a nonprofit in education and looked at middle school kids and how they were reading books. And one of the things that was exciting is because they had a shared context of the classroom, it made the idea of sharing books, passing them along, making recommendations so much easier. And so thinking about that in a work environment was part of the inspiration.
And so what does that look like visually?
So in Copeland, you would be able to see, you would get sort of a dashboard where you have the most popular reads within your organization. But you can also see other organizations. So a little bit like the Twitter model, you can follow other companies. So in the example, we look in the video, we use Google as examples. So you could go in and look what Google is currently reading, which is kind of interesting.
So comparing the two concepts, it sounds like where Nelson helps expand the information available to the reader by linking to the sources that have cited it and the sources that it cites, Copeland in a way helps narrow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
One interesting thing about Copeland as well is that it possibly allows for a new way to buy books or sell books. So as a part of the concept, every employee gets assigned book budgets, that they can use to buy the books they want, and that would inform what would be bought into sort of a collective library. So you can imagine that would be a potential new licensing model of books, where you don't buy books one and one, you actually buy a licensing for a group.
We have Dwayne Bray and Robert Lenny with us from the design and innovation consulting firm IDEO. They have been reimagining the book. They're on a project that looks at the future of books. And if you're just joining us, they've broken their design concepts down to three different tracks that they named Nelson, Copeland, and Alice. And we've talked about Nelson and Copeland a little bit. The third design idea is called Alice, and that pertains to reimagining fiction. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Alice.
Yeah. So Alice is about reinventing or experimenting with how we tell written stories. So what Alice enables is actually a non-linear reading experience where you can go in and out in the story in multiple ways. So you could see a story develop through the viewpoints of different characters. And you would also be able to get character backstories or different interlinked stories.
And the idea of a book that in some ways responds to your own context is interesting. So imagine that I can unlock secrets if I'm in a physical location and get something new that wasn't part of the book before is almost a secret that I'm learning about because of my own particular interaction with this book.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing at the origins of the names here. Alice from Alice in Wonderland, from what you just described. Copeland, maybe from Douglas Copeland of Generation X fame?
Could be.
And Nelson, I have no clue.
Yeah, so we, for Nelson, we were looking for a name that fitted with the purpose of, because we see books, one role of books is actually to be a cornerstone of democracy. It's been that way for a long time, and we hope that it still stays that way as it passes into a digital context. So we were looking to a certain Nelson Mandela for inspiration for that concept.
Needed to look outside the borders of the United States mm-hmm. to come up with that one. So does this all actually add to the process of either reading or storytelling? Because it sounds like so much of what you're describing has to do with the relationship between and among books.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when we did this exploration, we came to the question, what is a book? And how is a book different from a magazine and so on? And that's actually a very relevant question when the book comes into a digital context, because all the possibilities you could have actually changes the book and makes it something else. And what we came to the conclusion is that there were some things that were core and some things that was on the table for experimentation.
Right, because when you talk about Easter eggs and unlockable books in Alice, which starts to sound kind of like a video game design or something, we have a comment on our comments page from RJ who writes, regarding Alice, I would classify this as a game rather than a reading experience. When did reading become a reading experience? All of these concepts are interesting and I'm sure will be popular, but to me, tiring, he writes, and not in any way akin to the stimulation and relaxation one can get from settling down with a book. Are people going to laugh at a comment like that in 50 years as so 20th century?
Not necessarily, but I think that for example, the concept of Alice is very much an active, a lean-forward kind of idea of how to read, which is quite different from what the commentary might be describing. And I think there's going to be a room for both.
I think the other thing that's just exciting is we have to recognize that there is a change in the way people are consuming media today. And it's not necessarily that we're consuming less, but it's different. And one of the things that's really exciting to us is the relationship that fans now have with creators of content. So it's more of a participatory experience. And we wanted to try to capture that because more and more, as we spend time with people consuming content, that's what they're looking for is a dialogue. And I think there's definitely a place for the lean back, curl up on the patio, read a book experience. But I think there's also a place for this emerging experience.
Should someone, and I'm still thinking about Alice, I guess, go back and re-release War and Peace or 100 Years of Solitude with some GPS locations and an alternative set of endings?
Well, certainly now there is the trend towards the literary mashup, right? So the deconstruction of literature like whether it's Tolstoy or anything like that and adding in, well, in this case, zombies, but you can also imagine adding another context, which is being able to explore alternate aspects of a book or alternate aspects of a character and getting sort of the backstory.
And working with IDEO, which is a design innovation firm, is this something that you do as kind of a labor of love and intellectual, you know, curiosity and development, or does this have a very practical application for somebody?
We do this work a lot. We do a lot of conceptual exploration because often what we're doing is sort of distilling trends that we hear from our clients. And certainly the changing face of how people consume media is a big deal for a lot of companies today. And at some point we start to say, well, what is our response to this if we aggregate all the things we're looking at? Because it's not just books, it's video, it's music, it's all different aspects of media. What happens when we start to take a step back and look at that and sort of put something back out in the world for people to respond to? And in our case, we're interested in getting people, everyday people, to give us their responses and feedback.
Dwayne Bray and Robert Lenny from IDEO. You can see their video about redesigning the book on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you both. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Rachel Senator. We had intern help today from Alec Hamilton and Annalise Winnie. And our free country website editor is Anna Sale, our senior producer Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.